our concerts, Hayes Symphony Orchestra, our choirs, our bands, all of our recitals and things, they're all free.
Fort Hays State University's Music and Theater Department has a lot going on in the next couple of weeks. Director of Choirs Terry Krull stops by to share all the details on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Saturday and then Sunday afternoon at 2:30, the stage play, Don't Dress for Dinner. I assure you there's no nudity, but a couple of my singers are in that. Saturday we have scholarship auditions, so kids coming from all over the state to see if they can get music scholarships. Tuesday is my spring concert with the choirs, the Smoky Hill Chorale, the Fort Hays Singers, and the Concert Choir. That'll be at St. John's Catholic Church because there's an encore event in Beach Mint, and of course they can't go somewhere else, so rather than try and find another date, which is next to impossible, we said, well, let's go to St. Joseph Catholic Church. It's going to be beautiful there, except I had a hall of piano there, but that's all right.
Never a good time. I've had to do that myself.
That's Tuesday night the 7th, 7:30 at St. Joe's, and free. Wednesday night, also free, in Felton Start Theater, the percussion ensemble is going to do a spring recital, and they'll play some of the numbers they did down in Wichita last week at our state music convention, so that'll be great. Brian Pearson is our percussion instructor, and he's got a full stable of horses there that just play well. Thursday night, our bands do their concert, 7:30 in Beach Mint, Peter Lopop and Ryan. And then Friday night, we have a guest band, March 10, Northwestern College from Orange City, Iowa is coming in. They're on their spring break tour, and they're who organized their tour called me and said, hey, we lost a stop between Colorado Springs and Omaha. Can we come there? So my people said, sure, we'll put them in Beach Schmidt. And so we're hosting them. That's 7:30 Friday night. So this weekend, the play. Tuesday night, my concert. Wednesday night, the percussion. Tuesday night, the choirs. Thursday night, the bands. And then Friday night, a guest band. So lots going on before spring break.
Yeah, busy, busy.
Come and hear us before you take off for Acapulco or Corpus Christi or wherever you go in spring break.
Do college kids still do that?
Jokingly like that to one of my classes, and I didn't get any response. I don't know what they do for spring break. I think they go home and work to make money. That's what I think they probably do. Yeah.
Post-COVID, the world's a little different. But I love that there's so much going on, and you alluded it to in there. And I think this applies to all of these events, free.
Right. The only thing that's not free is the play.
The play, yeah.
Because you have to pay, big royalties to put on a play. And we don't lump it into student activity fees like basketball. I mean, that doesn't cost anything per performance to put on a basketball game other than referees and stuff. But, yeah, it's $800 to $1,500 per show to do, our fall musical. So that's why we sell tickets. But so the play is tickets, but our concerts, Hayes Symphony Orchestra, our choirs, our bands, all of our recitals and things, they're all free. And that's worked out pretty well. When I was first here, we charged, $4, $6? It didn't amount to anything anyway. So why bother setting up the box office and just let people come in and hear what we do?
It's a service to the community.
It is. It is. And it's an opportunity for our students to perform, because there are going to be many of them in the profession, or at least avocation. Certainly when they get out of school, they're going to continue. That's what we hope. So, free to the public, all of our concerts. Always at 7:30. There are a few exceptions. Like my cathedral concert out at St. Fidel's is at 3:30 in the afternoon. And the Sunday afternoon play is at 2:30. But our evening's performances are by and large at 7:30. So we try to keep that consistent. So
I wonder, and I mean, and we'll talk a little bit about the choir, the concert, because I know that's your wheelhouse. But how much do you guys get involved as the choirs with some of these other performances? And I guess really collaborative.
Got a number of pieces that have a few instrumentalists along with the choir. We've done a number of things with the band. We sang when Jeff Jordan was here and working with us. Bless his heart. Rest in peace, Jeff. He wrote a requiem for 9/11 on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, and the choir sang with his band. And we've done Hymn to the Fallen from Saving Private Ryan with the band. They asked the choir to help along. And last year we did something with Peter where what we did was just color ooh-ah-ooh stuff. It was kind of fun. So, yeah, we collaborate a lot. And a lot of our kids are in instrumental as well as vocal and on the stage play. I've got three of my top singers that are in tonight's play. From the Fort Hays Singers, so they're busy with that. But yeah, we support each other quite a bit. We're a small enough department, you know, that's one of our big recruiting positives. We say, you come here and, you know, you can do a lot of different things and you'll step on stage right away. I mean, mm-hmm. you can get a role as a freshman, maybe not the big lead, but you go to a big school, you have to wait till all the graduate students get out of there before you're an upperclassman and you get your chance. Otherwise, you might be just in the chorus, but you can get really good experience, jazz band, in our top bands. And so, yeah, pretty well-rounded program. We're proud of it. And our kids work hard.
So. Oh, no doubt about that. You know, you mentioned the size, and I'm curious. How is the department looking just as we move past COVID?
Well, we just had a report in our faculty meeting yesterday from Brad Dawson. He heads up our scholarship applications and auditions and sets up the schedule. And so, yeah, compared to last year, we've over doubled the amount of kids that are coming in to audition for scholarships. So that's really encouraging. COVID didn't hurt singing too much because, you know, you could sing at the drop of a hat. But if you missed 3 years of playing your instrument, that puts a big dent in your technique. And the bands got kind of hurt in numbers. But they're coming back. So they're keeping plugging. I always say to my colleagues, you know, quality rather than quantity. Let's make sure the product you put out is just really solid. And I think our marching bands is a testament to that. People say, you know, we used to have 100 out there in the field. Yeah, we used to. You know, you used to have that many people in this or that or that or this too. So the whole university is working hard to get numbers back up, as is every school, after the dent COVID put in our back pocket. But it's coming back, and as long as we keep a good quality product out there, which I think we certainly do. Sometimes when you go to other departments in the college for things like promotion or tenure committees, and they say, why do you give so many A grades? I mean, why is your courses so easy? And Jeff, my friend, yeah, bless his heart, he always said, you know, if you went to a baseball game and a batter was batting 300, you'd be thinking, wow, he's a hitter. But if you came to our concert and we hit 3 out of 10 notes, you'd leave before the end of the first number. So we rehearse hard and we're, you know, 90 to 100% note accuracy when we do it. So, yeah, if our kids are at rehearsals, they're going to get A's. If they don't at rehearsals, they're going to get kicked out of the group for missing rehearsals. So, yeah, we're well prepared, and that justifies why maybe in our ensembles anyway. That's not true in our academic courses, of course. They're as graded on the same scale as any other class. You get some kids who, you know, do well in music theory and some kids, you know, who just don't get it.
Kind of as we were talking beforehand, I was one of those kids that didn't get it.
That's why I threw that in there, yeah. And, of course, every department wants people to be majors, and I changed my major 7 times. I thought college was a place to, you know, find out what you want to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want you to, you know, the first thing they say is, what are you going to major in? I don't know. Come and find out. I changed my major 7 times. I mean, it was physics, astronomy, PE, math, finally music, and said, wake up, you dope. That's what you want to do.
Wait, I only caught 6 there, though. I'm curious what the other one was.
Oh, phys ed, I suppose.
Awesome.
Math teacher and coach, like my coaches were, taught math, and my brother's a math teacher, so I thought, wow, that'd be fun. It wasn't for me. It wasn't in my wheelhouse, as you say, but music was, so I'm in favor of letting kids come and be involved and determine and find out throughout the whole university what it is they want to do. Well, I mean, geez, way back when I first came to college, the first advisor I had was a physics guy. He says, what's your program? And I said, I don't know, Hogan Cereals? What? I don't know. MASH? What do you mean program? Well, what's your program of study? Well, I thought that's what I was here to find out. That's where I was. And I still kind of maintain that attitude. Send kids to us to find out what they want to do. And I think that's true of any university. I don't think it's bad for kids to go and work a while before they come back to college. Some kids, you know, come right to school. They're a little burned out from being in high school in grade school for all their first 18 years of their life. And so for some of them, it's good to get away from it. And we've had a number of students that have left college and gone to work. And now one of my top singers is back saying, I just couldn't stand not being involved in the programs here. So, yeah, you know, you're getting into adulthood. You're making life decisions that are going to stick with you the rest of your life. That's a crucial time. And, of course, we want music majors. Every department wants majors in their department. But more importantly, I think our university is about finding out what will make good people what will make them good citizens and what they should be doing, as opposed to, you know, if you're a good singer, that doesn't mean you should be a music major. You got to want to know theory and music history, and you got to know one of the inner workings of every aspect of music if you're going to be a teacher, certainly, or a music major of any kind. And some people just want to perform, and that's why a lot of our, oh, about half my choir is not music majors, and we give a zero credit option for our large ensembles for all those kids who want to be involved but don't want to use up one of their credits or that they need for their major program, you know. So they could take it for one or two or no credits in our bands and our large choirs, so that it works to their advantage. If they're a music major, they need to take it for credit. And if they aren't a music major, don't use up one of your credits. Take it for zero credit. You're on the rolls, and it shows we got kids participating, but it doesn't use up some of their valuable numbers of credits they need for their own major, which is something we deal with every day. Can we get it down to more less credits but still give them a quality education so they can get out of here in 4 or 8 years, some of them?
I was there for seven.
You were, yeah.
Seven, see? Total.
Yeah.
And that was 20 years ago. I can't even imagine now. It's probably way worse. I like to do everything. I was in so many different groups and activities and all kinds of music stuff. I just,
Jack of
I
all
enjoyed
trades,
being
master
there.
Of none. Yeah, that was me. But, you know, being a person who treats education students, you know, to prepare them for being future teachers, you really find out that some of your students that struggle a little bit, B's and C's, will make great teachers because they know how they had to work hard to get through certain concepts. They understand that. I mean, if you're brilliant in everything and it comes to you just like at the snap of a finger, you don't know why they don't get this. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things they say. The things you do well are the hardest things to teach because you never had to figure it out. It just came naturally to you. The things you had to struggle with and work out, those are the things you know how to teach because you knew how you had to get through it to learn them. So, yeah, don't be discouraged if you're in education and you aren't a straight-A student. That probably won't sit you the very best as if you had to work a little hard yourself to get through some things. And that applies in our area. I suppose it applies in other areas. But, you know, if you had a struggle to learn how to read music or to play your horn, to learn how to count better, you know, then you'll be a good teacher at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Terry, I tell you, we got to get over to news. We're out of time, but let's go over the list one more time real quick for everybody.
The play Don't Dress for Dinner is in Felton Start Theater tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon. The Fort Hays Choirs, three choirs, Concert Choir, Fort Hays Singers, and the Smoky Hill Chorale at St. Joseph's Catholic Church up on 13th and Ash. Tuesday night at 7:30. The Percussion Ensemble and all their tricks in Felton Start Theater Wednesday night at 7:30. The Wind Ensemble and Symphonic Winds, our bands, Peter Lopop and Ryan Pearson, 7:30 Thursday night in Beach Schmidt. And then a special group, the Northwestern College from Orange City, Iowa, concert band in Beach Schmidt Friday night at the 10th at 7:30. And all those are free except the play, which costs a small fee for tickets to pay for the royalties. Yeah.
Yeah. Go check them out. It's going to be
and
fun.
And then spring break.
Yeah. You guys can relax a little bit, decompress after all this.